Dr. Dre, let's get this party started. Thursday night edition. Love Talk
Radio. I love it. I love it.
Bring the funk. Bring the funk. Bring the funk.
Here we go. Well, man.
Pumping it up.
Yep.
Pumping it up.
Yeah, welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. And today it's a special day. It's a special Thursday night edition of the show. And we always want to thank everyone that follows us and listens to us. We know sometimes we try to keep things on the up and up, but, you know, sometimes things change and plans change, and Robert wasn't feeling good. So hopefully, sir, that you're feeling a little bit better. I know you're still not quite there, but it's a pleasure to have you on the show and always keep it going. So we thank you for huddling up with us and making sure that everything goes smoothly. So with
no
that being
problem.
Said, today is it's December the 13th, 2012, after that historical 12-12-12 date. But we are ready to talk some great football, college, everything, and as always, I got to check in with Mr. Robin and see how are you doing this evening.
Doing great, man. As you mentioned, still not quite 100, but I'm ready to hang in there. And once again, want to thank the viewers for, or listeners, I should say, for bearing with us. And since we weren't able to conduct our normal Tuesday night edition, but ready to get going tonight. Let's get this party started.
I guess you probably arrived. How are you, like, you know, 90%? You know, where are you? If we have to put you on the
You know, I guess that famous day to day list.
Your day to day, I love it.
I'm probable, so looks like most of the time when they say probable, you're definitely going to play. So I guess I'll be on that probable list.
love it. All right.
Tuesday I was doubtful, and yesterday I was questionable, so I've worked my way up to probable and on to day-to-day.
We love it. All right, as always, we want to throw out a couple numbers. For those that want to call in and tweet us and all that fun stuff and like us on Facebook, first of all, the number to call the show, it is 424-243-9519. To tweet us, we are at 12th Man Sports, 12 and T-H. MAN Sports, and also on Facebook, we're the same thing, we're 12th Man Sports as well, facebook.com/12thmansports. You got a lot of ways to follow us and show us some love. Without further ado, let's jump into some of these topics, and I know we didn't really talk about what happened over the past weekend. I guess we'll talk about that later, about Johnny Football winning the Heisman. We can jump into that as well, and also we got to also send, we keep doing this for the past couple of shows, but obviously the family of Jerry Brown that's been hurt, killed actually for in that horrible, horrific DUI thing. So we just want to, you know, obviously send our condolences out for that as well, Rob.
Yes, absolutely. Once again, the NFL rocked with another tragedy this past weekend, and our condolences are with the families that are involved, and of course to the Dallas Cowboys organization. And we definitely want to send our condolences from the Talking Sports with the 12th Man family.
Gotcha, good deal. All right, let's talk about some basketball. NBA is alive and well, and your favorite guy, Dwight Howard, is in the news, and the Dwight Mayor continues, and he had a nice little note to tell the fans to get off his back, and then we're going to second this is Mike D'Antoni a good fit for the Lakers, and there's been a lot of speculation about this, and I don't think it's D'Antoni's fault because he really hasn't had the services of Steve Nash. You expected to be there, but at this juncture, what do you think? Do you think he's a good fit? And then also, is Dwight, I think it's a little frustration that's been going on because I'm sure whenever he signed to play the Lakers, he didn't expect it to be as challenging as it is. And a lot of chemistry issues that have been going on, just things are not going right for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Well, yeah. One thing I want to say to Dwight Howard is start learning how to shoot some free throws, and maybe some fans will get off your back. I mean, you got the hack of Dwight now taking place, and, you know, it's hurting your teams in the fourth quarter. But lately, the Lakers are getting beat in the first three quarters, so teams are not even have to go to the hack of Dwight. And they just look like a bad basketball team right now. And their bench, they lack talent on their bench right now. Maybe that could change when Nash and Gasol comes back. But I think even when they come back, they're going to look like a slow basketball team. And I think teams that have a lot of quickness will be able to beat them up and down the court. But I think Dwight Howard, you know, this is when you're a professional athlete, you're going to have criticism from the media. You're going to have criticism from fans. You got to be able to block those kind of things out. You're a public figure. And so, I mean, you know, if you want fans and media to get off your back, learn how to shoot free throws and be a dominant big man in the NBA. You know, there's no question about his talent. I mean, it's all
right.
Living up to your talent. And, you know, people will get off your back. And as far as Mike D'Antoni is concerned, I mean, the Knicks are looking a whole lot better without him. I can tell you that. And is it possible that the Lakers can fire two head coaches in one season? Is that possible?
That actually could be possible. But, you know, just a quick little segue. You know, the Lakers fans, you should be used to, you know, your centers not be able to shoot free throws. That's all I'm saying, you know. So,
yes.
That for another
but,
thing.
Well, one thing, you know, if you go back and look at Shaq's history when the Lakers won championships, if you really pay attention, Shaq hit him when he really had it to, though. And Shaq would always say that, you know, he would miss them a lot throughout the game, but when it came down to the hack of Shaq, a lot of times he won a lot of games and teams would stop doing it down the stretch. So I guess one thing, Shaq's percentage overall wasn't that great, but he hit them when he had to down the stretch in a lot of cases. Not in all, but a lot of cases, and they still won championships.
Well, I'm not, like I said, I'm just, obviously that's taking that with a grain of salt, but what I'm saying is interesting too, because you know, he's had some struggles with the free throw department. Like you said, it's interesting. Shaq did, he added so much other parts of being a dominant center, so you didn't really mind if he had a weakness in that part of his game. But, you know, very, very interesting. But,
and one other note on Dwight Howard, his pick and roll defense is horrible. And that's strange to say because he was, defensive player of the year in the NBA last year, but his pick and roll defense has been exploited this season, and he's horrible in that department. He's got to get better.
I think this goes back to that old Chinese saying: "Be careful what you wish for, because you might get it." He wanted to get out of Orlando with the Magic, and he thought he was getting a better deal with the Lakers. It looks like it's not going that well for him. So. We'll see what happens. Do you think he's going to re-sign with the Lakers, Rob? Last point.
Hey, that was going to be my next thing I was going to bring up here. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not with the Lakers last season because he doesn't look like he's happy there either. And I think, you know, he's on a team where he's in somebody else's shadow for the first time either. And I'm not sure he likes that. And so I'm not sure he likes being a Kobe Bryant shadow. And so I'm not going to say he's not going to be the Lakers, but I'm not one of these people that's, you know, he's automatically going to be back with the Lakers. I think it's a very 50-50 chance at this moment.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't be surprised if he's with a team like the Dallas Mavericks next season.
Yeah, we'll see. He's going to become one of those guys that I don't think he – well, we'll see how it happens, you know. We'll see what goes on, what happens. That's all I'm going to say. We'll continue with the Dwight Mayer later on, but let's talk about the Miami Heat. They lose to the Warriors, who've been playing surprisingly well. I can't wait to go to California, talk to my father-in-law about the surprising play of the Warriors, because at first he wasn't a big fan who's the coach out there? My guy, Mark Jackson, what he was doing. And now the Warriors pull out an amazing victory over the Heat. On a last-second layup, and the question is, should the Heat be concerned? I don't think they should be. You know, like you said, it was one of those situations where a great play, 1 second. Heat are still obviously going to be representing the East in the finals, if not the championship. So that's my thoughts. It's a great, you know, great game. Warriors are playing well, and we'll see how everything happens as far as the season goes.
Yeah, I think the Warriors are one of the more improved teams in the NBA, and Mark Jackson's doing a phenomenal job. So kudos to our listeners in the Bay Area. You ought to be excited about your basketball team out there. Look like they're on the way up. Stephen Curry, David Lee, Klay Thompson, and I think Jared Jack and Carl Landry has really brought some toughness to that team. Those are two guys in New Orleans Hornets we should be regretting that we let go. But they're both adding some toughness to that ball club. Not the stars of their team, but they've added some toughness and some physical presence. And I think you're going to see a team, the Warriors look like a playoff team this year. But I think, you know, a lot of people are just overreacting with the Heat. I still think they're the best team in the East. Even though the Knicks are playing like the best team right now, I think in the long run, the Heat will still represent the East in the NBA Finals.
No doubt.
No time to panic in Miami.
Yep, no doubt. That's for sure. All right, let's talk about some fantasy shout-outs before we do that. Once again, for those who want to call the show, we want to thank you guys, too, for putting up with us. 12-Man Sports will be on its normal time next Tuesday. But following that, we have a Christmas Eve, so we're not going to broadcast Christmas Eve, but probably the day after. We'll figure out something, too. So just be on the lookout for that. Obviously, you can archive it. You can listen to it, you know, as you guys are in the office or if you're driving. Have some fun with it. We appreciate you guys tuning in and listening to us on the show. 424-243-9519 is the number. And let's give some fantasy shout-outs, Mr. Ford.
Yeah, once again, we want to thank you all for continuing to listen to our show and also competing with those of you who are that competing with us in fantasy sports. We want to thank you all as well. We're getting down to the playoffs in our fantasy football league this coming weekend. And the Shark has the number one seed, has a bye week. Manny is holding on that number one spot, but the playoffs, we'll see what happens. We have six teams that made it to the playoffs, and I think you're one of your team's in the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken, Dr. Dre. Congrats to you as well. So we'll see how the playoff shakes out. We want to offer congrats to the Shark. Manny, his team holding down the number one seed as of right now. And, of course, fantasy basketball, Dr. Duncanstein, Irv Daniels, is holding down the first place spot. So congrats to him. And we're getting ready to start a bowl challenge. Still have some time for those of you all that are interested. The bowl challenge is going to start. The bowl games start this coming Saturday. And if you go to Yahoo Sports, Fantasy Sports, the league ID is 9111. In all lower cases, the password, LSU, baby. And there's a space between LSU and baby. Once again, the password, LSU, space, baby. And that's all lowercase. So once again, please join us. Those college football fans that want to be in bowl challenge with us, sign up right now. We have two more days before the games kick off on Saturday.
Thank you, sir. I definitely appreciate you doing a good job in keeping us intact with a lot of different stuff. And I think it's interesting we talked about the Shark and how he did his thing. But hold on. Did I beat the Shark last week? I was going to check if I beat him. Okay. All right. It's all good. I think I beat him last week or something like that.
You beat Crazy Crew.
Beat somebody. That's right. What? Okay. He beat me. Nah, he beat me last time. Okay, it's all good. Moving right along, I'm going to skip over that. Let's talk about, as we move on to the NFL, a lot of interesting things going on. We're going to talk about some top five teams and a lot of things. But let's talk about an interesting scenario in which the NFL is actually considering expanding the playoffs to 8 teams in each conference. Now, the question that's being posed, is this a good move? And I'm going to start with this real quick, and I'll let you finish up, Rob, to kind of help rest your voice. But an interesting thing about this is the only good thing that I can see about this scenario is it'll make the last couple weeks of the season more competitive, because if you have some teams that kind of go into cruise control, and the way the playoffs are set up right now, obviously Falcons are playing well. We pretty much clinched our division. A lot of teams that have already clinched, they don't really care about this last couple weeks of the season because, you know, they've pretty much wrapped it up. They can rest players, yada, yada, yada. However, if you expand the actual playoff teams, it's going to be a little bit more interesting towards the last couple of weeks because you got some teams that are fighting for playoff positions. So it could actually make it more exciting near the end. There's no doubt that you know that Roger Goodell wanted to expand the actual games from 16 to 18 and kind of eliminating some preseason games. So I'm sure this has something to do with it. I know the players aren't really a fan of having an 18-game season, but there could be a way that this could be working to the whole thing, maybe eliminating, maybe have two preseason games and then adding some games at the end or vice versa. But at this juncture, the only thing that I like about this would be it'd be a little bit more exciting towards the end of the season. But at this juncture, I'm kind of a purist. I still think I like how the game is set up right now.
Well, I will go along with and say that I actually like the idea of expanding the team to 8 teams making the playoffs in East Conference. And normally I don't agree with too many things that Dictator does. And those of y'all who may be listening for the first time, when I say the word dictator, I'm referring to Roger Goodell. So, yeah, normally I don't agree with what the dictator does. But in this case, going to 18 playoffs, I think it's exciting for the fans. You're adding more playoff games. And like you said, it keeps the competitive balance. And you know, you look at Major League Baseball, what they've done by adding a wild card to the playoffs and how important some of those games down the stretch are now, the way they used to be useless games. And so I think from that standpoint, you got to like it. And so I think it would add some excitement. And I think, you know, with the NBA having 8 teams from each conference, I think that helps the regular season down the stretch as well. And it makes for an exciting playoff. And so I actually, I like it. And, you know, a lot of cases, I think a few years back, you had 11-5 New England Patriots team that missed the playoffs, and they were definitely deserving of making the playoffs with a record like that. But I know we've had some years we've had 7-9 team make the playoffs who maybe weren't deserving. But I think I like it just from, you know, adding more football. I think from a fan's perspective, it's great because you're adding some more entertaining football.
That's kind of tough because right now, Rob, you know, obviously you see a team like the Jets making it. I mean, I'm sure you don't want to watch anything like that. Do you seriously want to watch them? I don't know. Well, something that you have to, like you said, there's some teams that may not deserve to get in there, and you may not want to watch that game. But, you know.
Well, maybe this year, from the AFC standpoint, you know, it may not be great, but from the NFC standpoint, it will be great because right now you have about 9 to 10 teams in the NFC that's playing some pretty good football, but only 6 of them are going to make the playoffs. And so, and really from the AFC, other than the Jets, the 7 that's above them are some pretty good teams too. And, you know, so it wouldn't be that bad, you know, just give the Houston Texans a cakewalk in the opening matchup against the Jets. But, you know, other than that, you still got some pretty good football teams.
You got the Chargers, too, you got to think about. You know, obviously, you got to – I mean, like I said, it's not –
They wouldn't make it.
You know, it's not – well, they're actually second in division. So, if you look at taking, like, the top 2 teams in each division, right, I'm sure that's kind of how it's breaking out.
No, it wouldn't go down.
Something like that.
They would take the 3 division winners. They noted all of the division champs, which was 4 in each conference, and then
right.
The best 4 teams other than 4 division champs.
Okay, that's right. Okay, I got you.
That's how we'll break down. So if you're a second place team, you don't automatically make the playoffs.
Gotcha. I got you. You got to have the right record. I got you. Cool. All right. I was just making sure because, like I said, I was looking at that right now, and I was like, man, the way that it was breaking out. Yeah, interesting. Let's keep it going. So let's talk about we're going to save the Paul Tagle booth for a little bit later because I'm sure we're going to have some time for this. But let's talk about the top 5 teams in the NFL.
Okay. We definitely got to cover the Tagle booth piece. I've been waiting on that since Tuesday. I was so upset that I wasn't feeling well to cover that. And
Give us about 2 minutes, Rob, and then we'll talk, and we'll spend the rest of the show talking about that because I'm sure it's not going to go over well, and then we'll do our predictions and all that fun stuff too. So let's jump into this.
My top 5 teams here. Here we are. Number 1, I'm still going with the Houston Texans, even though they got demolished.
Ooh.
Number 2, I'm still going with the Falcons, even though they got demolished. Number 3, I'm going with the New England Patriots, and very impressive. Denver Broncos, I'm very impressed with them as well. Number 4. And number 5, I'm going to go with the 49ers.
Wow, you really do want to talk about Paul Tagle, but you went with that with the quickness. let's see, number 1, I got the Falcons. The reason why I got into the Falcons is because the Texans are actually showing themselves to be a little bit, have a lot more weaknesses than we anticipated. You know, the way that their secondary is playing, their defense is, no, I mean, I'm sure Tom Brady is the bomb, but the way they got demolished, I don't know. I'm still kind of leery about them. So that's the reason why. Falcons, Texans, very similar to you. Patriots, number 3. Number 4, the Broncos. And number 5, it is the 49ers, even though there's a lot of teams that are surprisingly right outside.
We only disagree at 1-2, I take it, this week. 3, 4, and 5, pretty much are the same.
That's right. I guess let's talk about something that's happening pretty big. The whole bounty program, Paul Tagle.
The so-called bounty program.
The bounty program. I'm going to bring up a name later on, too, Mr. Mike Cirillo. the whistleblower, and we'll talk about that as well too, because
I'm sure
there's two sides to every story. And
Mike Cirillo is a name that I brought up on our show several months ago.
Okay, and
we can go pull it up in the archives.
Yeah, you did. So, what about Mike Cirillo? I mean, was this the name that you were like? is his name Mud just like a
Mike Cirillo? Mike Cirillo's track record is about the worst person you can follow with any credibility. Mike Cirillo has a track record of lies that the NFL Players Union Association broke down months ago. This guy lied on leave of absences, on reasons for leave of absences on several workplaces, not just the New Orleans Saints. He lied and said his girlfriend's father was on his dying bed and left the team. And, you know, he's had several reasons for lying on jobs and for leaving, you know, organizations. And this is the guy the NFL used as the source, a guy with a track record of lies. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The NFL Players Union broke this down tremendously. And Roger Goodell has egg all on his face. Got to be the worst commissioner in all of sports. You got to go and listen to Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless, how they just completely apologize. Well, Skip Bayless was always on Jonathan Vilma's side. But Stephen A. Smith just says, man, I got to give the guy tremendous credit. People around the country was accusing Vilma of something that he didn't do. And this is, I've said this before, anytime a guy fights this hard, he's obviously, a lot of this cannot be true. And Mike Cirillo has a horrible, horrible track record. Horrible track record. And he's upset that the Saints fired him for lying.
There's two sides of the story, Rob. So let's talk about this, too. Because, you know, like I said, I think the thing about it is the whole thing about, in spite of the fact that the cat may have some questionable skeletons in the closet or whatever, the fact is something that he said, you know, you can't deny the fact that what he actually said, and everyone's attacking his credibility and all that stuff, but actually he had something, there's basically fire to this, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, ultimately. So something was going on, let's just say that, you know, and it goes on in a lot of different places, too. That's not, we're not going to dispute that, as well as there's certain bounty programs and stuff like that. But the point is, and the fact that there was information that was brought forward, there are certain things that were deleted, there are certain things that whenever he's being interviewed by the NFL, and there are certain things that's been leaked in bits and pieces, and the lie detector test has been going on, and some transcripts that have been mysteriously removed and whatnot.
Where have there been lie detector tests?
Well, I'm just saying there's certain things that, well, I know Bit was like, oh, we should have lighter detector tests, blah, 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 things are going out.
Exactly.
You know?
The Saints coaches have asked to take lie detector tests, and the NFL hadn't even taken them up on the offer. The only person has been found to lie so far in this case is Mike Cirillo and Roger Goodell. That's the only people that have been proven to lie so far in all of this case. Proven to lie. Now, what happens is, and, you know, and even me, and, you know, when this story first broke back in March, and I've said this on several occasions, you go back and listen to our shows, I've said this on several occasions for those people that are listening for the first time, that when this story first broke, me, even as a Saints fan, said, hey, this is horrible. This is horrible. How can they even be so stupid to do something like this? And I think with people in America, we're so accustomed to hearing something and believing it right away. But the more the information came out on this story, the more it just was not adding up. And we can go back to April on this show where I've came out saying, hey, this stuff is just not adding up right. You know, it comes across that I'm a Saints fan, I'm just taking up, but all the evidence is just slowly coming out that people are just slowly getting, you know, affirmed here. Now the player suspensions have been totally wiped out. And, you know, Tagliabue comes out and removes all of these suspensions. Why? Because he didn't see anything. Now, he comes out and you know, supports the NFL and their findings. But guess what? They don't want to release it. Why? why they don't want to release it. Because they really don't have enough evidence for the suspension of the players, and they really didn't have enough evidence for the suspension of Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis, and Joe Vitt. But the NFL don't want to release it because there's going to be an outcry. These people have already served these suspensions for what? For what? And the NFL still don't want to release it. They don't want to release what their findings are because they don't have any findings.
What if the findings were out of, were disappeared?
Yep.
What if they were gone? So if they were, what,
yep.
What if somebody, you know, if there's a cover up, somebody's gonna say, "Hey, you got to delete some evidence." So what if there's, what if?
Well, why would the NFL?
Through,
I just why? Hey, I'm, you know, if the NFL just showed the public of everything that they find, then, you know, I think people will be on board. Now there are polls on all over websites. Even right now to this day, 94% of America now believes the NFL should reinstate Sean Payton right away. 94% of people in America, BleacherReport.com, believes that the NFL should reinstate Sean Payton today, yesterday, Tuesday. There is no evidence. Roger Goodell, I'm telling you, people around the country is calling this man Hitler. Or, well, not Hitler, dictator, I'm sorry.
Be careful. Well,
dictator.
Like I said, but see, that's the thing. I mean, yeah.
And it's
I mean,
so funny because I've been saying that for months on this show.
But this is the thing. This is the thing. And I'm playing the other side. I'm clearly, because, like I said, we appreciate the passion that you have for the Saints and everything that's going on and everything that's.
But more than the passion for my Saints, I'm
yeah,
more so
the
passion
I know.
For what's right. You
well,
don't accuse
right,
somebody of doing something without giving them a fair due process. Has Sean Payton, Joe Vitt, and Mickey Loomis, they didn't have the support of the union like the players did. They had to take this charge and sit and be quiet. They didn't even get a fair due process.
That's
what I'm upset about. I'm upset with what's right and what's wrong.
All I'm saying, and I know we're gonna be on both sides, and like I said, the only reason why I'm bringing up certain points because I want to, you know, I'm trying to be the other. Other voice. I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that, but I'm saying that the other side because I don't agree with that statement. But this is what I'm saying. If there is a cover-up.
Is this tongue-in-cheek?
I know, but if there's a cover-up, Rob, and this is the thing. Seriously, there's a cover-up going on. You are going to delete every bit of information you can have, okay? Number one, okay? If I'm doing something that.
Who's doing the cover-up is my question.
But I'm saying, though. Even if
cover-up on whose part?
But this is what I'm saying. We can talk about this all we want. Something did go down. You can read me on that. Something went down that wasn't right, correct?
I can tell you what went down. I can tell you exactly what went
no,
down.
No. But that's what I'm saying. Something did go down, okay?
No,
but
and I can tell you what went down. The Saints had a paid-for-performance system, not a paid-for-bounty system. There's a huge difference. That's what went down.
Okay. But however you count it, you know, say the potato, whatever. Something did go down that wasn't up on the up and up. That's what I'm saying right now. Now, the point is...
They did nothing illegal that we have evidence of.
We have evidence of. I'm not talking about evidence right now. I'm talking about just right now. This whole party... We got 90 seconds to talk about this. Man, this is going to be great. So we continue this till next week to the show? Because we got 90 seconds. Let's shut this off and talk about next week, Rob. The blood is flowing. We got about a minute left. Let's segue into the next show and all that fun stuff. Maybe if you want to listen to the archive, me and Rob arguing, you're more than welcome to continue on and listen to the next part of the conversation. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, you guys don't want to miss. We lead y'all up into an exciting OT. So, I mean, you guys better be on your computers, your cell phones. Click on our link. Catch the rest of this. You don't want to miss it. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this. So definitely click on our link and join us and catch us next week. We might have to recap this a little bit more. We're going to be back on our regular Tuesday night time, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. We got the hottest debate in sports going on right now. Of course, he's a Falcon fan, so he's listening to that Atlanta Falcon crap radio there in Atlanta.
Here we go.
But here we are, so definitely tune in, and we're going to finish the rest of this, and we got some more college football we may get to in our OT section on tonight, so definitely tune in, America.
We definitely got to talk about the rest of these predictions, too, but we're going to probably talk about it in just 5 minutes about the bounty, or the so-called bounty as Robert said. So join us in next week, fellas, folks, ladies, everyone, Talking Sports with 12th Man. We are out. And we are officially into the OT portion. Okay, so for those that are enjoying the archive portion of the show, you're definitely seeing a treat. Sorry we had to break about this. And hopefully maybe we won't talk more than 10 minutes because we're going to have to keep this back up for the live portion. I know I hear folks screaming that they want to keep this going. But
we're going to keep it going until we're going to stay here until we're ready to get to the next topic.
we'll be here for like 30 minutes to an hour talking about this. But this is, as I say, the other side. And clearly, you got to understand, I'm not trying to, you know, rile you up or anything like that, but I'm just trying to offer a different perspective because, you know, we're going to fight tooth and nail as far as understanding the whole thing, evidence, yada, yada, yada. All I'm saying is if there are certain evidence that I agree with you, we should produce the evidence. But the other side of that, if you have evidence and you're trying to hide it, you're going to delete it. You're going to do whatever you can to try to get away with, you know, from it. Yeah.
Who are you referring to, the NFL or the Saints?
I'm talking about the Saints. If you have something that you know that, like I said, I agree that there's paper, you know, that's nothing new. Paper pay, that's been going on for a while. We know that. And like I said, I don't know to the extent of it, and I do agree that the Saints have been obviously the punishment did not fit the crime. But you guys are, you know, unfortunately setting the example, which is terrible, which shouldn't have been to that extreme. But the point is, something did go down, and we don't know exactly what it is, but something did go down. Now, you can talk about Cirillo, whatever dude is, you know, whether he's a, you know, line, snake in the grass, whatever. Something went down. He went to the NFL, and the NFL did some type of, okay, well, they decided, okay, we're going to research this. And there's even talks about Cirillo in the article, and he's like, well, yeah, you know, we're told to delete information and yada, 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 and then, you know, Greg Williams was hired to bring more of an edge to the Saints defense and all that. You have all these different parts that are moving, okay? At the end of the day, like you said, I agree with you. Velma is fighting tooth and nail because, number one, he wants to have his reputation to be reinstated. And I agree with that. Jonathan Velma seems like he's a good guy. You know, I don't think he's as bad as obviously the dictator is saying. But let's not look outside of what's going on. And the fact of the matter is, something went down, and unfortunately, whether the cover-up, whatever, something, both sides are involved in it. We don't know the whole extent. They're not going to come out and say, hey, you know, everything, there's no way. You know, so all I'm saying, in the grand scheme of things, is that we keep playing, you know, pointing fingers and yada, 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 and at the end of the day, like I said, looks like Tagliabue realized, okay, punishment didn't fit the crime. Let's reinstate these players. Let's get this back. Obviously, it didn't help the Saints because the season is pretty much over, unfortunately, for you guys. But, you know, moving forward, it's definitely a way to say, all right, it's kind of what happened with Texas, who was it? SMU getting the death penalty. There will never be another death penalty ever, again, to that extreme. You know, because people realize, man, that was a little too extreme. We didn't mean to go that far. It's still taking that program almost 20 years to kind of rebound from that. And unfortunately, that's what's happening right now. It's like, man, okay, we shouldn't have penalized the Saints. I mean, okay, what can we do to make it better for you? I don't know. But the point of the matter is, we're here. It's a terrible thing. Paul Tagliabue realized, hey, let's do this for the Saints players that are trying to get their credibility back. We should go back and definitely apologize. You know, Jonathan Bill was fighting. You know, Anthony Cargill was fighting. There's certain players that they didn't really come out and say, you know, there's certain things in Anthony Hargrove, he said, you know, he wasn't exactly truthful as well. So there's still some things that aren't adding up. So that's all I'm going to say on it, and I'm going to let you finish. How about that?
Well, I just I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, but I'm also just bringing up certain points to our listeners as well that may not be aware of a couple of things. Now, of course, I follow this very closely. I mean, every article that comes out, I followed it really, really closely. And I think that's why I was on to this maybe even a month before it came out. That stuff just wasn't adding up. ESPN Outside the Lines asked Mike Cirillo, why didn't you wait 2 years to bring this story out? Do you know what his answer was?
What was his answer?
Because the Saints fired me. he was doing a lot of this, you know, and once again, you know, if you look at the Saints history as well as other employers of Mike Cirillo, it says he has a track record of lying. And the Saints said they fired him because he had a track record of lying about leave of absences that they found out. So number one, you know, of course he went to the NFL. The NFL should definitely have researched his background as well. You know, this guy was someone who was trying to be vindictive against the Saints for firing him, and they put out, of course, you know, warnings to other NFL teams that will consider hiring him. He said he wanted to work for other NFL teams. The Saints warned other NFL teams about his track record. Why do you think no other NFL team has hired him since? You know, and including your Falcons. The Saints even gave the same information to your Falcons. This is the guy's track record. They even helped your team from hiring somebody like this. So they helped all the other 31 teams in the NFL from hiring a guy with this kind of track record. So that's number one, you know. And the NFL Players Association broke this thing down beautifully. You know, this is who the NFL number one point person was with this kind of background.
Okay, so Rob.
Number two,
so
my next point is this.
Hold on a second.
My next point is this.
Uh-huh.
And number two, before you suspend somebody, and I'm going to even ask you this question. Do you want to be falsely accused and lose $7, $8, or however many million dollars you would do to make this season? Would you want to be falsely accused for something like that?
Of course not.
Okay. Now, with any situation this big, Roger Goodell should have had a better investigative system. There are attorneys all over the country that has looked into this, and all of them say it is a spotty investigation at best. All of them said stuff just not adding up. DeMarie Smith says he's done investigative work in Washington, D.C. for over 15 years. And he said that this report, he says, I am convinced. He says, I am convinced after sitting in on all these meetings that the New Orleans Saints never place any bounties on any player. Now, these are attorneys from around the country, some that is involved with the NFL and some that are not. That's all I'm saying. You know, like I said, I follow this close story probably more closely than the average person. And, you know, maybe I was kind of hip to some of the things that have been taking place. You know, some of these things. But, you know, I just think, you know, Roger Goodell, and he's even come out and says he doesn't feel like he owed the players an apology. I mean, you've ruined these players' reputations. I mean, even Stephen A. Smith came up and said, hey, I owe Jonathan Vilma an apology. I'm man enough to say it. And I expect Roger Goodell to do the same thing.
Interesting. So, like I said, so with Cirillo, I mean, if this guy had such a bad track record, why was he hired by the Saints?
Well, he was hired. He wasn't, you know, I don't know what kind of, who he was working with prior to the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know what was his, you know, situation prior to the Saints. But I know he did some stuff while with the Saints, and he informed all the other teams in the NFL about it. And that's why he has not been able to work in the NFL again. Now, he's working at Princeton right now as the director of football operation, but he wants to work back in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think anybody in the NFL trusts him.
Yeah, I mean, there's a note that that Cirillo actually said that he was communicating with Goodell, and basically he basically said that you know, obviously he regretted that. I'm trying to find this piece of information too, because basically he was kind of nervous. He didn't want to say what he really wanted to say, because it was something that he was a little nervous about working in the NFL or working back in the NFL. I'll have to find this note too, but it is interesting in the fact that you know. Ultimately, yeah, I think if the guy was upset for being fired and now he's trying to bring everything back, but like I tell you, that there's something that is not right with the whole situation, you know, on both sides. Now, I agree with you on that. You know, Cadell should have not had the iron fist that he did with the Saints. You know, obviously, you guys are being made an example, which is too much. And, you know, but obviously I think some things have been, you know, it's just anything. You know, too much gray areas. When there's gray areas, who knows what you know, what's going on, you know? So,
you know, wrong is wrong. You know, I'm not for wrong. I'm not coming, I want to come across like I'm in favor of wrong. That's not the case. But I'm in, you know, but if someone is being falsely accused of something, I do think everybody deserves fair due process. And I just think this whole process did not call for fair. This whole process did not have fair due process at all. I mean, it just didn't. It just seems like that Goodell, you know, came out here where he wanted an outcome to it, but he didn't want a fair due process. He was just ready to hand down suspensions, and I just don't think he did a very good job with this at all. And you know, and I don't think this is over. I really don't. And
it's not gonna be over. No.
Don't think this is over. I mean, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Tom Benson come out and eventually sue the NFL. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see at some point Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis, and Joe Vitt having a way that they can sue the NFL. So don't be surprised at that as well. Because and what's strange about this all, I mean, we're hearing all these conversations, but, you know, even Jonathan Vilma says this. He says, I have no clue why Sean Payton was even suspended.
Well, Sean Payton could have been suspended because, unfortunately, he oversaw it. It's kind of like, you know, he was kind of in charge of everything.
He oversaw a so-called bounty program that we have no evidence that existed.
Something happened, Rob. I mean, like I said, something went down. It wouldn't be a problem.
Did he have a fair, if something did go down, did he have a fair due process?
I agree with you on the fair due process, but I'm saying, I mean, the
Saints
aren't like, their hands aren't clean.
Based on evidence that you have seen, does he deserve to be suspended?
But I'm saying, Rob, I agree with you as far as, yeah, the due process. but there's something went down, Rob. Seriously, but like you said, as
you
far assume, as
you thinking
evidence,
something went down because it was reported. But we don't know
I'm
something
saying,
went down.
But I'm like I said, if you look at both sides of the, if you look at, not just like they're one side, but I'm talking about, if you knew that somebody was investigating you, somebody's, hey, by the way, you're gonna start deleting evidence.
Basically, you're like, reporting stuff that Mike Cirillo said that we don't even know is true.
I'm not talking about Cirillo. I'm just talking in general. Like, if I know that somebody's come after me, I'm gonna try to like, okay, well, I'm gonna start, you know, getting rid of some evidence because I don't want to be implicated for that. That's just in general, you know.
That's something
but
that Mike Cirillo said, the guy who's has a history of lying.
But I'm not talking about Cirillo. I'm just talking about in general.
But that's where
that
information came from, about somebody hiding information. That was Mike Cirillo saying that.
But
no,
I'm not talking about
what
Mike Cirillo said. I'm saying in general.
No other person has admitted to that.
But I'm saying, this is what I'm saying. I'm not talking about Cirillo. I'm just saying.
Joe Vitt is even saying, I will take a lie detector test to prove that what Mike Cirillo is saying is lying. And the NFL did not even take him up on that.
The lie detector test, those aren't really admissible in court anymore anyway, but that's just a whole other story altogether. That's just one thing, too.
Well, some people
but
are trained to beat them. I don't know if Joe Vitt is trained to beat a lie detector test. But.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, like I said, long story short, we got about 2 minutes to really wrap this up, so I'm excited to continue this topic next week. But all I was saying, Rob, I'm really not trying to, like, you know, get you riled up or anything like that. But I'm just saying,
all I want to know is, Deshaun Payton, based on real evidence that none of us have seen.
True evidence, I love it.
Does he deserve to be suspended for a whole season?
Wow. Man, we didn't get to anything. We didn't get to any of the topics, but it's all good. Next week, it's on. For those that listen to the Archive Show, you guys got a treat. Rob, do you want to, like, set up for next week? A lot of big games. Can I go through this in a minute? Falcons.
I tell you what, this is why I was upset. I wasn't feeling well on Tuesday.
Because
I was looking forward to doing the show Tuesday night.
Oh, man. Oh, Yeah, you heard that real quick. You heard my predictions. Aggies, and then Arizona. Okay, I'm done.
Utah State and Arizona. We agree on the college bowl games on Saturday.
about,
Everybody else, y'all on your own on the NFL predictions this week.